I was tired, not just physically, like emotionally, like the kind of tiredness that it affects your confidence that you wouldn't want to even step out of the house because you're scared that. So you would think that, oh, people are talking about you, especially when you've grown up and people have always been talking about how you look. There's skinny privilege. Hey, there's what I call skinny privilege. Yes, because there are some opportunities that you would want to have. But when they look at you that you're overweight, they would just think, this person is lazy. This person cannot even help herself. Do you think she'll be able to help other people? That's exactly what will come to my mind. At the end of the day, I lost weight. And this person keeps commenting on my social media. Wow, you did amazing. I'm so proud of you. Guy, have you forgotten that? What happened?
Hey, you. Welcome to the Almost 20 podcast. Before getting into the university, I gained weight. And if you're a listener of the podcast, this is not news to you, okay? You're not just now knowing that I gained weight. You already know my journey with weight gain and my journey on a healthy lifestyle, right? You know about all of that. But before getting into the university, I gained weight and I was oblivious to the fact that I had gained weight. And it took my family and friends and even random people telling me, you've gained weight. You're becoming fat. Oh, boy, you don't fat. It took all of that before I started getting oblivious to the fact that, hold on, it looks like I've actually gained weight, right? And so I decided that enough is enough. I'm going to lose this weight. Around October last year, I started my weight loss journey. I said, enough is enough. I'm going to lose this weight. And at first, I was doing this because of people. Eventually, I started to do this for myself. I started to be on that weight loss journey for myself. Now, if you're somebody who has ever wanted to go online to lose weight and you've checked on information online about losing weight, you definitely must have seen that the internet is very saturated with a lot of information. Even if you're not going online to look for weight loss videos or weight loss resources, just information about health or a healthy lifestyle, anything revolving around that sort of theme, you would see a lot of things. It seems like suddenly everybody is very well vested in the topic of health and fitness. And so it took me a lot of time to actually realize which source I wanted to listen to, which person I wanted to follow on, just to ensure that I go through the right direction to get into my goal. And throughout this entire journey, I bumped into Toria's content. Toria is a health coach, and she's one of the many people who contributed very significantly to my weight loss journey. She was one of the coaches who was passionately sharing her personal experience and helping people who want to lose weight, lose it healthily. And so amongst other resources I started to gather that was good, her content was definitely among it. Her advice was definitely among it, right? And so eventually, as time went on, I actually did lose the weight and maintained the healthy lifestyle. And so with over 35,000 followers on TikTok and over 9,000 followers on Instagram, it's my greatest honor to have Coach Toria on the podcast with me today. Hey, Toria, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you. Hope you're having a great day as well.
Yeah, I mean, so far so good. So far so good. Let's just see how it goes. How's the weather been for you?
It's been very, very hot. I thought Harmattan was supposed to be here, but I guess this year's Harmattan is sun Harmattan. It's so hot here.
I'm telling you. I don't know. I thought it was specifically where I reside in. I thought that there was just my region was being very deviant to everything, because tell me why it's so hot around this side. Meanwhile, it's November.
It is. It's almost December, literally.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep coping.
That's what we have to do. All right. So could you give the listeners a brief introduction about yourself and what being a certified health coach means?
Okay. I'm Coach Toria. My full name is Ngwe Victoria Anoluakpo. And my brand is The Weight Loss Fairy. I'm a certified health and fasting coach, and I've helped a lot of people, men and women, to lose weight in a sustainable and realistic way. There's no punishment, no shame, no guilt tripping. It's just science and listening to our bodies while I support them all through the transformation journey. And being a certified coach is just, it means that I was trained, especially because I took almost 1 year training to be a certified health coach. Apart from that, I'm actually an human anatomist. I studied human anatomy. So I have a BSc degree in human anatomy. So I already understand the concept about the human body, and having that certification just adds more to it. And I don't know if I should say this, but I got into med school this year and I'm going to be a medical doctor because I'm so passionate about body, like I'm so passionate about the human health, making them to feel better, not just with medications, but through our lifestyle as well. You understand? So that's just a brief introduction about who I am.
Yeah. I wanted to say congrats, first of all, on getting into med school. It's a really, really wonderful achievement, honestly.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful.
Yeah. So before we dive right into the conversation, I do this thing with almost every guest I have, whereby we play a game. It's a would you rather game. In that game, I ask a question, a would you rather question. And I ask them a question with two options and they get to pick one of the options. You don't get to pick. Okay. There's no either this or this. You get to pick just one.
Just one.
And so should I shoot my question?
Yeah, please go ahead.
All right. So my question for you is, would you rather wear one color of clothing each day for the rest of your life or seven colors each day for the rest of your life?
Like seven colors in a day or different days for different color?
No. A particular day, you would have to wear seven different colors. Maybe the shirt would be blue, the trousers would be red, the cap would be, everything just has to be different colors. Yeah.
Okay. I would definitely choose one color. I'm someone who is very like minimalist. I love my space to look clean. Same thing with my clothes. Too much colors or too much things going around, sometimes it affects the way I cannot like think clearly. So it's something I would definitely go for, just one color. I mean, it's less stress. You don't have to think about matching clothes, making sure the color fits.
Yeah.
You just have to just wear. So I would definitely go for just one color.
Yeah, funny enough, I would actually also go for one color. Because just like you said, I think the only thing for me is just the stress. The stress of having to pair seven different colors each day for the rest of my life. No, no thank you very much. I can't do that.
Definitely.
Yeah. What color would you say you would go for, like, for the most part?
I would go for brown. I mean, brown has different shades. And in fact, even if you're wearing a particular shade, you can never go wrong with it. It looks very timeless, classy, and overall cute. And I like it. So I'll definitely go for brown.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that, but don't they always say that black is much more? I mean, you can never have, I feel like you can never go wrong with black for the most part. Or is it just a meeting? Like, you can pair black with almost anything.
I mean, it's generally, like, a lot of people will actually choose black, but I'm already dark-skinned, and I mean, I need a little bit of color in my life. So, for me personally, I'll definitely go for brown.
Okay, fair enough. We're on the same page on that. So, you have an incredible platform now, right? I mean, you have thousands of followers and you've coached over 20,000 people around the world.
Definitely.
And I know for a fact that with that expertise of being a coach, she comes with a personal experience of losing weight. Let's say, for instance, now a football coach instead or a tennis coach who is coaching players, they would have personal experience with that. Like, you'd rarely see a football coach who doesn't know how to play football or who has never played football before.
True.
Right, and so you would have a personal experience with that. So what was the moment that made you say, you know what, I need to start my own weight loss journey that led up until this point?
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, you're actually right. I am a personal believer of, like, if you've not gone through the same thing I've gone through, there's no way you're teaching me, because you don't understand, like, the experience that comes with the struggle, like, which way or how will I overcome some certain things. So, yeah, a coach should definitely be someone who has personally experienced it, not just maybe study about it. You should be able to embody it. And for me, I have been overweight for the majority of my life, like, right from childhood. Like, have you heard about child obesity before? Exactly. That's what it is. And since I cannot remember, since I've not ever thought about losing weight my entire life, like, it has, my whole life revolved about trying to lose weight, because of people would always, you know, talk that, ah, you look so fat. And people don't know how to just mind their business. They will definitely put it in your face. You know, different kind of nickname. I grew up and it was still the same thing. People say, oh, it's this baby weight. Yeah. It's going to leave. It doesn't, it didn't. And the turning point for me was the fact that I was tired, not just physically, like emotionally, like the kind of tiredness that it affects your confidence, that you wouldn't want to even step out of the house because you're scared that, oh, and it's even worse because I have social anxiety. So you would think that, oh, people are talking about you, especially when you've grown up and people have always been talking about how you look. It's so heartbreaking. So that was one of the reasons why I said, oh, I actually really need to do this. And I'm so glad I actually did it because it was profiting at the end of the day. And if I happen to make a choice to either, you know, remain the way I was or make a change, I would definitely, definitely opt to making a change.
Yeah. And I like that. I think one of the things you said that really piqued my interest, and we'll talk more about that in this conversation as we go on, is about how people really don't know how to, I would say it's more phrase their question and also mind their business. I think it's a combination of both. Or as Nigerians would say, in a collabo. It's like the both of them. And yeah, I think anybody listening who has at any point in their life been overweight would understand very well the experience of people making comments and digs about your body in a way that is just, it's honestly very sad.
It's true.
Yes, very. Exactly. And we'll talk about more as the episode goes on, right? So I'd like to ask here, as a coach right now, I mean, you know a lot about weight loss. You know about the science of weight loss and all of that.
Yes.
But before you knew all about this, just like you mentioned, you said growing up, what was mostly on your mind was, you know, how to lose weight and all of that until you successfully did lose the weight, right? So before all of this, what was like, what were some ridiculous myths that you used to believe about weight loss and dieting that now as a coach, you know, is completely false?
Okay, that would be about intermittent fasting, actually, because people have demonized fasting. They see it as, oh, you are poor, it's because you don't have money to eat. Or better still, they'll see it as starving. Or they'll say it causes ulcer. Or like a whole lot of things that they were attached to intermittent fasting. And growing up, I always believed that you need to eat at least like 6 meals in a day, like they say, to lose weight. 6 more meals, if I should quote that, 6 more meals in a day to lose weight. And now growing up and having to experience the whole weight loss process myself and how I've coached people, I have learned a lot about intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is an incredible tool, not just for weight loss, even for health. And that's why my whole platform is dedicated to talking about intermittent fasting, to enlighten people more about like the goodness. I think this whole slander about intermittent fasting came from like the food and pharmaceutical industries, because obviously they want people to buy more food, eat more food, because they know that if people eat and buy more, they're going to make more money, not even thinking about these people health. Intermittent fasting is like a time-restricted eating pattern. It's not a diet. It's like an eating pattern where some period of time you're not eating and some time is dedicated to like eating. It's a time-restricted eating pattern. So, and it actually do help. I've had a lot of clients that they healed their ulcer through intermittent fasting. They've not felt that pain. And it's funny how most people say, ah, fasting gives me ulcer. It doesn't. It really does not. I've even had a personal experience. My mom, particularly, she was diagnosed of pre-diabetes. And she was so like, she was panicking that, what would I do? They wrote her a lot of medications in the hospital. And I was like, fasting, there's been like studies that shows that fasting actually does help lower your insulin levels. Why don't you give it a try? I personally took it upon myself to coach her. And when we short fast, like 16 hours, morning, skip breakfast, eat lunch, eat dinner, the kind of food she eats too, we made sure we monitored it very well. And within 3 months, our blood sugar levels were completely normal, just with fasting. Wow. So I so much want people to also know that fasting is not what they think it is. Fasting is flexible. Fasting is choice. Our body, it wasn't meant to be eating 24/7 in a day. We're supposed to let our body rest, let the body do its own work, let it process all the food that it has eaten previously. So yeah, those are the myths that they've spoken about intermittent fasting that I used to believe before, but now in my personal experience, that's changed my mind completely. And honestly, I'm so glad to have come across it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't, I'm still surprised, as you said, like fasting and ulcer, like it sounds so counterintuitive, you know, with the whole notion that if you have ulcer, you just have to eat and eat and, you know, but hearing that fasting actually cures ulcer, you know, is actually really, really nice.
Yes, it really is. Yeah. I could even show you my client's remark about how they felt. In fact, I think I posted one on my Instagram story today where she's a student, obviously, and she has ulcer and she's been fasting and she said that she feels so much good, better than when before she even started. And that always make me very happy. Now the gospel of intermittent fasting will keep flowing.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the myths I knew or I had always been hearing about about, you know, weight loss and all of that.
Weight loss in general.
Yes, was about the consuming of all these mixtures that would help you lose weight. I think I had people around me who were like, you know, if you drink this stuff, it will cleanse the body, it would remove all
detox,
unnecessary.
Oh my goodness.
Exactly. If you drink it, you see people that are stashing it, telling you, if you drink it, I'm giving you 2 months.
It
does wonders for the body.
At the end of the day, all those things are laxative, and the person will go to the toilet and will not be able to stand. I've tried all those things in my attempts of trying to lose weight, but they don't work. They do not even work at all. It's crazy. Yeah. A lot of things we've actually tried just to, you know, stay healthy. It's very important to not just follow the crowd, is to do what's best for each individual.
Yeah. I'm actually wondering now, why do people still sell those seeds? I mean, are there people, like, for something to keep on, you know, being in the market, it has to be widely accepted by people. So is it that people who buy them don't see results and don't still make a sound or make complaints about it and it just keeps on? Like, I'm still wondering why those things are in the market when it's like, it feels like a scam now, you know,
when you've known
about weight loss and all of that. And yeah.
The thing is this, that people who are trying to lose weight, they are very desperate. Like, and people who are selling it, they are feeding on their insecurity. So when you come, you tell this person, see, if you take it, you are going to lose like 10 kg in like 3 days. Obviously, that person is very desperate, right? They're going to buy. I had a lot of my clients that they said that they're paying 100 and something plus. In fact, some people are even doing well on subscription plan for diet pills and everything. And they still came back, even buying all those things, they still came back to try to do it the right way and everything. So it's about desperation. People are looking for fast method. I want to lose skinny konkoko in just 2 days. It's not possible. We have to like be realistic with ourselves sometimes. So those people, keep putting people who sell all these things in business. I mean, if you have opportunity to make money by feeding on people's insecurities. I mean, they would do everything that they can to do that.
True. Yeah, true. So you mentioned how you had, you know, a period of time whereby you were trying to figure out, does this work for weight loss? Okay, how can I lose weight like this? And then you eventually did find your footing, right? And you did eventually did lose the weight. And yeah, so I would assume that it took a while. Right. I mean, from what you just said, now from what we just discussed, is weight loss is not something that happened like this tea people advertise in 2 days, in 1 week, in 5 weeks, you've lost everything. Right. So while you were going through your journey of weight loss, were there moments whereby you were actually frustrated with maybe things you experienced and maybe you questioned the entire process of, should I continue this thing? Should I continue this journey?
Yeah, actually I did. And I can't. Like, if we start counting them, we will not live here, because there were a lot of period where I doubted myself.
Yeah.
And it didn't even help when people when you tell people that, I'm not eating, it's not my eating window, I will eat later. And they'll be like, why are you starving? Is it because you want to lose weight? Those things do frustrate someone, and like, it just discourages you to keep moving and keep going. And another thing is when you've like you gave that month your best. You did everything. You showed up. And only to step on the scale and you're just seeing like 2 kg. Sometimes it might just be one point. And you'll be so frustrated and be like, what am I doing wrong exactly? Like, am I not doing well? In fact, so after that period of time, you might just be like, just give up, go and binge eat and just forget about it. Then the next week you start crying, oh, I want to lose weight again. You start again and it becomes like an endless cycle. But it was quite frustrating for me. Those were the two things, like not seeing like the result as I expected, and also having people discourage me. But honestly, that time when I said, oh, I was going to give it my all, I was so delusional. I was like, oh, I'm not doing it to actually see the result. I don't even care how long it's going to take. I'm going to do this. And I'm so grateful. Honestly, I'm so grateful I actually made that decision. And I looked past it. Yes.
I'm glad you're able to move past it, honestly, because like you mentioned, I think most people, that's the point whereby they get very discouraged and they just give up. Yeah. And I relate so much with what you said about people and how their comments can be a source of discouragement. I think personally, when I was losing the weight, I think around last year, you know, maybe when they are eating food, people around me, right, when they are eating and you're like, oh, no, I'm fasting. And I'm like, oh, you're fasting. All right, okay. You're trying to find sheep. You're trying to find those comments. I mean, in the moment, I don't know. I feel like some of these comments...
weird, especially when it's in public. Yeah. I understand how it feels.
Exactly, exactly. I think you get this feeling, right? I don't think you can properly describe it. It's just this feeling of, like comments that most people would make about your journey. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. It got to a point, I don't even tell people that, oh, I'm fasting. If I'm fasting and you invite me, I would not come. I would not come to your event. I'm going to stay at home because it'd be awkward seeing other people eat and not. Or maybe still, I would just, because fasting is very flexible, I could just, you know, maybe do some certain hours and restart when I get home and everything. So I don't even tell people anymore because I realize when you tell them more, you get discouraged, and I don't want anybody to do that.
Yeah, true. I think for me in school, when I started talking about my weight loss journey and all of that in school, was when the results were visible to people. Like people were the ones saying, "Oh, Martins, are you? What's happening? You're losing weight. What's happening?" Like, you know, and that was when I was like, oh yeah, I'm on a weight loss journey. I think it would have been different bringing it up when people were eating or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to ask here, what was your first non-scale victory? Maybe as you experienced this plateau, the scale didn't move too much, or you felt discouraged by everything. What was the point whereby you actually started to see, this thing is actually working, and you felt encouraged to keep moving and to keep pushing?
Okay. So I had so many first non-scale. I wish I could relive those days again. And the first was in my clothes. Like, my clothes started getting loose. I could see a lot of changes in the way my jean, like, I could wear a jean this week, the next week is already falling down more than what it was last week. The arts like start shaping them, and I felt so good. What about my underwears too? It's like everything, it just happened like one day, everything just changed. Like, you don't see them, then all of a sudden one day you become aware that, oh my goodness, this looks so different. And another thing that I could see my chin. That was crazy. I could see my chin and not a double chin. And it just, those things just really made me so happy. Honestly, I think it was those little moments that just kept me going, even when the scale didn't move. Honestly, I always tell my client that the scale is not the know it be all of your weight loss journey. The scale is not saying everything. In fact, if you drink water now, step on the scale, it will increase. Not that you've gained fat, it's just that you've drank water. It's water that is in there. So one thing that you use to measure your progress is your clothes, pictures, videos. You could even buy maybe a jean trouser that is one size smaller. Track it with videos. Okay, today it's entered, at least maybe it not enter my hip. Next week it entered. All these things actually make it feel so much better, make it easier for you to stay encouraged than the scale that would just say, oh, you've lost 1 kg, or you wake up the next morning after even doing everything right, you see that you're up by 1.5. you could actually go crazy by there. So not scale victory all the way.
Yeah. And I've heard that you don't use the scale completely to determine victory, just like you just said. It's normally the other things that would actually show you that you are on the path of success. Like you mentioned, the clothes, the videos. Yeah.
People we even tell you.
Exactly. I've heard that it's highly recommended to do it before and after, whereby you are seeing the changes
as you go on. True. It's just funny that overweight people, I've been there. It's just so hard for you to even take your phone and video because you don't like what you see in the mirror, in the pictures and everything. And most of us end up not even taking before pictures. We just find ourselves at the middle of everything. Then we now realize, ooh, it would be nice to document it. So if anyone that is overweight and is hearing me, please take that before picture. You're going to need it because after you lose weight, people need to see where you started from. So
That's true. And I think that video and pictures, it helps a lot because most times some people would face body dysmorphia, whereby they're asking themselves, did I really lose this weight? You know, were there any changes? And I think that the videos and the pictures would really help a lot to actually prove, to be like concrete proof.
And some people also have weight blindness. Like, you don't know that you've actually gained weight, but you have actually gained weight. Like, when you make videos, you are able to see it more, or maybe take pictures, especially when you're taking group pictures, then you're like, oh my goodness, why is my face like... Yeah. You become more aware about it. So please, it's very, very important, especially when you know you're on like a fitness journey. It's not going to be fast, but just document the whole process. Enjoy the process, like embody it. Your way to change. You should not hate your current body. You should even love it. And trust me, the first step is actually loving yourself, because when you're so angry, there's no how you're going to concentrate. There's no how you're going to like want to make it right. Just take it a day at a time. Enjoy the whole process. Don't listen to anybody. Don't listen to even yourself sometimes, because there's something called self-sabotage. We can be our own enemy sometimes, but just keep going.
I remember when I was losing the weight and suddenly all my trousers were falling off. And we had to call one Abuki to come and start resizing. And everybody else was like, guy, what's going on? What's going on?
Oh my goodness. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Then all of a sudden you find yourself wearing a size 6, a size small, a size medium. Oh my goodness. It is all those crop top, and you've been hiding yourself in baggy t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts. After you lose weight, finding your style is one of the most difficult things, because you really never really had a style to start with. So after losing the weight, you now try exploring new things and everything. Yeah. It's one journey that I cannot even explain unless someone actually experiences it themselves.
Yeah, true. And I've heard that for the journey of weight loss, like you just mentioned now, it's best to show love to yourself as you are before you start the journey, because I think when you show love to yourself now, it's easier to accept yourself as you change in body size and all of that. What do you think about that?
Like I said before, when you actually love yourself, you just want to do what's best for yourself. And it's not coming from a place of anger. It's not coming from a place of guilt, regret. Yeah, there's something that is going to trigger someone to actually start looking after themselves and everything. There would always be one thing, but you should not let that consume you. The first thing, why am I doing this? It should be because of you, not just because of, one boyfriend said this, or one girlfriend, or even just maybe friend. Even if it's our parents, sometimes they can be a little bit, make comment about your body and everything. But once you like love yourself, you would not even think about those people. Instead, you use those things to fuel as motivation for you to keep going, to keep pushing. Trust me, when you even finish losing weight, it's the same people that will tell you, it's okay, you are too slim. Why? This, that. They're still going to complain. That's the problem. They will still complain even afterwards, even after you've lost the weight, which is why it's very important to love yourself, because even after you've lost the weight, they can still complain and you now say, yeah, let me gain small weight, and you end up back to being where you started from. So that's why it's very, very important for you to actually love yourself and
yes,
enjoy yes, the I, process I totally of agree becoming with that. I totally agree the person with that. You want to be.
Yes, I said I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And I think that that also helps very much when you want your journey, in the sense that there may be some days whereby you check the scale and it drops mm-hmm. and there's this acceptance of yourself. And so you know that, you know what, whatever inconsistent consistency is like the best consistency. And so you keep pushing.
It is. It shouldn't be perfect. It cannot. We are humans. It will not be 100% every day. You just have to show everything, anyhow you want it to be. Even if it's just like a 10-minute exercise, 1-minute walk, or you are just standing instead of sitting all day or lying all day, you just stood for like 5-10 minutes every hour. That would actually make a lot of changes, and a lot of like little steps actually are the ones that makes big results. Not the huge one, not the intensity. It's the consistency.
Yeah. And so from what we've talked about, you know, people's comments in our conversation, we've talked about people making comments and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think that the term for that is called fat phobia, right? And I want to know if you've had an experience with, you know, fat phobia.
I believe every overweight person would have experienced that fat phobia. Fat phobia is like the fear, the bias, the judgment towards people of bigger body. And it could be loud, like it could be like, oh, they'll say directly to your face. And it could be like subtle, like it's through their behavior towards you that you're going to know it. I've had so many experiences about fat phobia. There's skinny privilege. There's what I call skinny privilege. Yes.
Yeah.
Because there are some opportunities that you would want to have, but when they look at you that you're overweight, they'll just think, this person is lazy. This person can't even help herself. Do you think she'll be able to help other people? That's exactly what will come to their mind. Even in relationships, overweight women find it so hard to actually find people who love them for the way they are. And women especially are those people that actually are the victim of fat phobia more. They believe, okay, men, they're man now, nobody is really. But women, because you know, of the beauty standards and everything, it's not favorable. I've had, like, I was in a relationship with someone and we ended things. And after we ended it, because you said that, you never really loved me. And I was like, but why did you ask me to be your girlfriend if you never really did? And it was crazy. Then the following month, I saw that he was actually dating someone. And this girl is skinny and tall. Oh, my goodness.
Damn.
She was slim, slender, dark complexion, slim. She's tall. And I'm like the opposite of what this girl is. And I'm like, this could actually have been what it is. There are lots of people that, after you've lost weight, especially for me, there are more people that wanted to be my friends. And I don't know why. It's crazy that they want to associate themselves with you more than when you are overweight. So it's a lot. Honestly, it's a lot. Fat phobia is something that we really need to, it cannot completely end, but we really need to talk about it, talk about the harm that it can do to people. Like, there are a lot of people who have committed suicide because of this. There are a lot of people who have lost, like, opportunities. Like, there's this particular standard that you have to be just because that you have to be. And if you're not that thing, you're nothing. We really need to talk about it. And I've seen even people who have lost weight become fat phobic. And it's crazy that you've gone through this whole journey. Why are you seeing people who are overweight, who were like you before, and you are laughing that it's better she should go on? And it's all this what did they call this? Like advice that you'd not ask for. You're just walking on the road and a man just
unsolicited advice.
Be taking ginger and lemon every morning to help you lose. Nobody asked of that. You will not walk to someone that is slim and you tell them, drink this. No. It's something we really, even in hospitals, we've seen doctors that instead of them to actually do proper diagnostics, right, to know about, okay, what's wrong with this person, they just assume that it's because we are fat. Go and lose weight.
Yes.
No, exactly. They shouldn't just like shun their patients like that. They should actually find, okay, what could have been these days? Okay, if it's actually weight related, there's a way they could say it with love, with compassion, because these people, they are struggling. They struggle. It's not like they actually want to. Like some people, especially for someone like me, I used to be like a serial binge eater. Do you know what they call binge eating? Like you just want to eat. You cannot, like, you can't satisfy your hunger, literally. And for people like that, they struggle a lot. They want to lose weight, but they can't just stop the food noise from coming in and everything. Most people will not be able to relate to this, which is where we need more compassionate people. I will not go outside and see someone and say, oh, why is your stomach big? Why am I laughing? What is funny? There's nothing funny. So some people say I'm very sensitive when it comes to that, because I would not, and I don't want people to, and I want us to be like, this is our next generation. We should be that generation that we don't fat shame people. Oh, if you see a fat person eating, you say, why are you eating? Even if it's just like one spoon of rice, they will complain that we are eating too much. Meanwhile, someone who is slim could eat like times two of that, but they will not say anything because obviously she's slim. But someone who is eating half of it because she's fat, they would always fat shame. So it's really, really, and it's so normalized and it's scary. And we really need to, you know, start doing better. No fat jokes, all those things.
Yeah. Personally, I think I've posted about it once, or not even once, a couple of times on my socials, whereby I talk about how much I detest fat jokes. And yes, maybe some of that is coming from having been on the other side of experiencing it and realizing that it's not really funny when you are on the receiving end. Another part of it I feel for me comes from just, let's say, general maturity, right? And I get that. I wanted to ask, right, if that's fine by you. Sorry about the breakup, first of all, and everything that happened, right? Oh, but when you had realized...
That's been so long.
Okay. Right. So, but when you had realized that this guy actually did go for someone who looked the complete opposite of how I looked, were there some sort of... How did it affect you, and how did you sort of move past that?
Well, I was not completely new to, you know, being compared to, you know, especially when you grow up overweight, you're already used to something like that. But that actually fueled my passion, my drive to actually want to make this weight loss work, like by fire, by force.
Yeah.
Me, I shall know I cannot die. I will not, because I can do this. It's just like my mind that, you know, keeps telling me that, oh, you can't. And these things actually helped, because at the end of the day, I lost weight. And this person keeps commenting on my social media. Wow, you did amazing. I'm so proud of you. Guy, have you forgotten that? what happened?
Have you forgotten so soon?
it's just those things. The best thing you can do to yourself when you face such situation is just get motivation from it. Don't make it make you hate yourself the more. Just get that motivation and move on. Just do better. Love yourself so much that there's nothing anybody can say that can affect you. That kind of love. Do what's best for yourself. Do better. Don't just stay in one particular place. Just move.
Yeah. I love that, honestly. I feel like maybe it's not just the Nigerian society, but my experience is mainly just the Nigerian society. I feel like a good number of the jokes that are made in the Nigerian society, they are fat jokes. Like, if you want to make everybody laugh, look at the fattest person and just make a joke. Post about fat jokes, you know.
It is. Even our skit makers, comedians, a lot. Even on social media, an overweight person cannot even create content in peace, and they will not make it about how she looked. Constantly talking about... I saw a post, right? Priscilla Ojo, right? She, I think, what event was that or something? She was like in an event and they made like a video that, Priscilla Ojo in this. And I went through the comment and someone said that, she has gained weight though. Someone who literally just gave birth to a baby 3 months ago.
Wow.
You're already body shaming someone who just gave birth. And it's so That's bad. Crazy. Even our celebrities, they face this constant scrutiny. Once there's a change in their body, people will flip. They'll say, she's not more fine, this and that and that. It's really, really crazy. People need to if you don't have anything good to say, just shut up and scroll. It's not that hard. Yeah. It's not that difficult. If you can't pass love, if you can't tell the person, you look beautiful, especially people who struggle with body image issue. There's not how much you look beautiful that would make them feel. But one every day makes it a lot different because now they start believing in themselves. It restores their confidence a little bit. Imagine Priscilla sees that comment that people are talking about her body after she has gained weight. She could slip into postpartum depression because she feels like, my body, it's so difficult. Our body went through a whole change in a year. Obviously, it's going to look a little bit different. People should learn to mind their business sometimes. So,
that's true, honestly. I think for me, I think I've even said this on the podcast in previous episodes. My experience with fat phobia was very brief. And this was due to the fact that I didn't really grow up overweight as a child, right? Mm-hmm. I would say my own experience was mostly growing up very lanky, growing up very thin, and then adding weights all of a sudden. And I had the experience very little. Like, my experience with fat phobia was very little. But the way it affected me, I then sort of imagined what people who have been overweight their entire lives were going through. Like, you get the comments that people made, the way people, looked at it. It was so surprising because I went from the guy who was just me. All of a sudden, people now saw my weight instead of me, I think I even mentioned this on the other episode, a couple of episodes ago, where I talked about how I was just going home with some group of friends and they were asking me, I think one of them was like, "Guy, what happens if somebody just grabs your phone now?" And I was like, where is this question going to? I was like, I'll chase the person. I wish somebody grabs my phone. Body. Yeah, the guy was like, as you are. Exactly. He was like, as big as you are now, you'll carry your body like this and run and chase the person. And I didn't just know how to react to that, And I think that comment affected me for a very, very long time. To the point that that's one of the comments I remember, even as I've lost weight. Like, that's something that it's crazy, honestly. You mentioned this while we were talking in the episode about how there is no shame for guys and girls when it comes to weight loss. I feel like, once again, the society and everything for guys, this might just be my opinion, but maybe it's a bit tougher to talk about this kind of things. I feel like, yes, maybe, because maybe this might be biased. Once again, this is my opinion. But for girls now and for women, they're sort of allowed to be very emotionally expressive. Generally, I'm not talking within specific individuals. True, like, there are individuals who would be open to that. But for guys now, for a guy to come out and just start talking about his experience with fat phobia and how this person said this and this,
people can be like, "I beg."
Exactly, man up, I beg.
I know how that can be. And people should let people be expressive about how they feel. Like, you don't know who may be listening, who needs someone like him or someone like her to know that, they are not alone in this. And we really need to keep talking to the point that people get used to it. True. Because once they get used to it, they just see that, this is just one of it and everything. And you don't know who is out there looking forward. Or maybe I've had situations like a 11-year-old child, boy, girl, 16, 14, 12, send me a message that, can you please help me lose weight? And it just breaks my heart, actually. And for our brand policy, I don't coach people less than the age of 18. And that's because, they're adults and they can make consent, especially when it comes to something like intermittent fasting. And so that they don't develop eating disorder when it comes to that. So I always have that policy. And when I see children come to me and like send me message, it always break my heart. And that's because of things are not changing. And that's because of our parents. Why will you tell your own child that, your child is there, you are telling another woman that, you're already overweight, though, like in Yoruba, they'll say, "Omati Sora." The child is already learning that habit and will now go to school and see his friend that is also like chubby a little bit, and I say, "Oh, you are fat," and those people, it messes with their confidence even right from small. So I want us to like keep talking about it, the damage it does to people, their confidence. They don't feel like they're beautiful enough. Like, research has shown that women, like, or men that grew up like overweight out there, that they've experienced fat phobia, they tend to make wrong marital decisions because they settle for less because they feel like they are not up to par because of how people have treated them. That you yourself, they will just manage you. If they see someone that is fat, you better go and marry you. Let's not. So all those things, really, really. And if we can try to curb it, like spread more love to people, it will definitely help restore a lot of people's confidence and everything. So I definitely believe that we should keep talking, even though people may see it as, but you be guy now, you don't need to talk about him. Or girls will be like, eh, your own is better. Maybe you have the shape. We really need to still keep talking about it. So I totally agree with that.
Right, there was something you said about how most times when people just see a big person, they're like, oh, you're very lazy, oh, you're unhealthy, especially maybe with doctors, whereby you come to meet the doctor and you say, oh, your back is paining you, or this part of your body. And instead of them doing the...
like a proper diagnostic research that they would do on a
Exactly. Instead of them running those tests and diagnosis, they would just tell you, you need to lose weight. You need to... There was even this story I heard, right, from someone, and they were like, they went to the hospital, they told the doctor that they were feeling a particular pain at the back. Right. And the doctor was telling them, oh, they just need to run laps around the particular place and they'll be fine. And the person continued pushing for a diagnosis to be done. And it turns out that the person had kidney stones.
My goodness.
And so it just shows how bad it is that it even extends
to certain professionals.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It just shows, honestly, it just shows how bad it is that it extends to certain professionals in the medical field even. And so I want to ask, do you think as a health coach, do you think that all the time, big always equals unhealthy? Like, if somebody is big, it automatically just means that they're unhealthy.
No, I don't think that. Weight alone is not, it does not define health or healthy. Health markers, there are a lot of health markers. We have like your blood pressure, your sugar level, cholesterol level, inflammation. In fact, you can be slim and your health markers are really, really poor. Meanwhile, we've seen a lot of slim people have cancer, have high cholesterol, have thyroid disease, not just because of weight alone. The weight could be a factor, but it does not equal being unhealthy. It does not equal being, just being unhealthy. So you can be slim and your health is poor. You can be fat or bigger and you have better health markers compared to other people. So it shouldn't be. The main issue should just be behavior, your movement, nutrition, you are resting well, you are sleeping, you are managing your stress, and not just the number on the scale.
Yeah, right. So would you say that there is a way, like there's a possibility that someone can actually have body, you know, as Nigerians would say, whereby that, oh, this person has body, but they're not explicitly fat, but let's say plumpy, and that's healthy, and there's a difference between that and, let's say, being obese.
Yes, there is. When you enter the obese category, it's definitely, there's a lot of health risk that goes into there compared to someone who is probably, you know, overweight. But someone who is overweight is also adding to being obese if care is not taken, if the person is not like mindful about what they eat, how they move and the rest of it, right? So when it gets to like obese, I don't know if you watch like My 600 Pound Life on YouTube, like when it gets to that extremities, it's actually very, very, because their organs would start shutting down, not because they actually are sick, but because of how the fat has progressed, how they have been taking care of their body, then their organs start shutting down. So you could be just plumpy, especially it's not everybody that loves to be like very, very skinny thin. Some people just don't want to like be in a particular BMI and manage their weight from that aspect. It's very good. Weight management is really very, very good in those parts to maintain their weight and also like the quality of their health too as well. But in Nigeria, the problem is that if you are not slim, you are fat. That's just it. If I just be a little bit chubby, that you've not, you're like overweight, and you have not even got into that category of like type 1, type 2, type 3 obesity, they would consider you still fat. So it's crazy. And this whole thing needs to really, 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 really stop. And I can't wait for us to build that generation whereby people will be so much nicer to other people, because you don't even know what these people are going through. Some people, it's just mental health challenges that keeps making them to eat, binge eat. Or some people, it could even be health issues. We've had skinny people develop polycystic ovarian syndrome or hypothyroidism or diabetes or all those other insulin or maybe other even illnesses that makes them gain weight. Not even that they were even overweight. Those things make them gain the weight. The illnesses make them gain the weight. And when you see that person, you just say, why are you fat like this? And you don't know what the person is struggling with health-wise. Exactly. So those things really, really do affect people too. So I believe that there will be change one day. Might not be soon, but one day there will.
Yeah, one day, honestly. I feel like the society doesn't really place much emphasis on mental health and, would I say, generally being kinder to people. You know, I feel like in the Nigerian society, maybe it's just my own experience once again, but I feel like the Nigerian society is very rugged. It's like eat or be eaten, killed or be killed. And so people sort of feel like, if you, the way you talked about niceness and being kind to people, I totally get it. But I feel like there's a whole lot of people who, this is not even in their, like, they can't comprehend.
It is not. This. It is not. And when you even talk about it, I've had, like, a situation where I talked about it to a friend, like, why are you laughing at someone? And he's a guy, it was a guy. So laughing at the ladies, because, look at, she's even wearing cropped up, her stomach is big and everything. It was like, he didn't say it to her face, but he was just telling me. And I was like, you should not do that. And the person told him that it was just playing. What type of play is that? Like, they don't ever take, well, Nigerians, we don't usually take things so serious until when it's deep.
True.
But we should actually, we should. Please, if anyone is listening to this, I just hope and pray that this goes viral and a lot of people can actually hear this. Overweight people struggle with mental health illnesses a lot. Most diagnosed, most undiagnosed. And what you say to people, you may think, oh, it's not a big deal. It's actually a big deal for some people. Like, some people even develop like serious eating disorder to the point that they don't eat at all. And they become, they lose a lot of weight and they have anorexia because of what people have said to them. And some people, it's the other way around. So I really want people to be so nice. In fact, if you cannot even be nice, it's better don't even just say anything. Move on with your life. I also move on with my life.
Exactly. I've always said this. If you can't say anything nice about somebody, just keep quiet. And if they did not ask you for advice, don't give the unsolicited advice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for the person listening right now, right, somebody who feels defeated basically in their weight loss journey, maybe they started, they've stopped. They started, they stopped. They are in this cycle of, I've done this thing plenty of times. Nothing is, either I would lose and then 2 weeks later I'll gain it back, or it will stay maybe a month and then I'll gain it back, or nothing is even showing. There's no sign that I'm actually, there's nothing that's showing. So what would be an advice you would actually give to this person listening?
What I would tell the person is that don't give up. That's number one. It's not going to be easy. You didn't gain all those weights in a month, in 2 months, and they will not go, they will not disappear in 2 months or in a month. You need to be patient with yourself. Enjoy the process. Don't give up. Just pick one healthy habit every single day. It could just be easy as walking, or it could be maybe going to the gym, or maybe if you're like me and you have social anxiety and you know that you really don't want to be seeing people like, oh, you're working out and everything, you can even do a home workout. There's no marker that, oh, you must go to the gym to lose weight. No, you could do a home workout. You could even take a walk in the evening, stroll around your community or your street or anything. It helps a lot. Eat food as if like you love yourself. Yeah, treat yourself once in a while. I mean, life is not just about your weight. Life doesn't revolve around your weight. Enjoy to take some time, treat yourself, but don't make it too often, right? Once in a while is not bad. Eat good food. Eat food that makes you feel good. Don't listen to all these weight loss coaches that they will say you should be eating salad morning, afternoon, and night. Please, no. You deserve to eat something flavorful. If you start doing all those things, before you know it, you'll give up because you're already tired of drinking smoothie, juice. You're doing egg diet. You're doing juice fasting. No, it's food that actually nourishes your body, food that will make you happy. After, like, when I start my fast and I'm already planning my next meal, and they're like, oh, I'm craving pepper soup with this. I'm going to cook that pepper soup and I'll eat it. I'll cook it in the most healthiest way I can as possible. Enjoy it, right? Because of weight loss does not mean that you should not eat good food. You shouldn't be happy. That is very important. Don't give up. All those small things that you're doing, just keep moving, keep doing them. Don't let anybody discourage you. Don't listen to anybody. The worst thing you can do is listen to people, because when you do, there's no going back. So you don't want to listen to people. Just keep moving, keep going. And if you need motivations, you definitely know where to find me. I am always there. In fact, even on my Instagram, you don't even need to pay to join my community. Follow my Instagram, follow my TikTok. I post there, post motivations, and I've had a lot of people also see results from there. So that's very, very important.
Yeah, thank you so much, Toria, for that. I mean, definitely, we are gonna put your links in the episode description, and you would also mention them. So definitely, the listeners listening, they are gonna reach out to you. Yeah, I saw one of your videos and I saw your walking pad, and my goodness, I've been wanting to get a walking pad. I've been wanting to ask you, how's the experience been?
It actually makes walking a lot easier. Like I said, all like me that don't like going to the gym because of my social anxiety, it makes it a lot easier. Like, I can walk in my room. I don't have to walk out, go outside or do anything. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's more motivating. You can watch a movie while you're walking. You can do other things while you're walking. So it's actually, and it helps. But at the same time, if you're not disciplined, you would probably bite and you start collecting dust and you will not step on it. But if you can spend that money on it, then you should definitely use it. And if you would ask me, I would advise you actually get a proper treadmill than a walking pad. Walking pad, most times they have weight limits. So if you're like 80 kg and above, I would not recommend it. I would recommend you actually save enough. The difference is not even much, if we are being honest, with a regular treadmill and a walking pad. So that it can last well for you.
All right then. Because I'm definitely going to get one. I've been wanting to get that 10k steps in every day. Oh, you need to
make it like a consistency reward. Something like maybe when you get to your goal or something. Just spoil yourself a little bit.
I would definitely try that out. So Toria, this has been a wonderful conversation so far. Before we wrap up here, I know so many listeners, they're going to be ready to take action after hearing everything you've said and after hearing this conversation. So where can they find you on socials? I mean, and your TikTok, your Instagram.
Okay, so if you're someone that wants like guidance, structure, support, or maybe like some people don't like a group setting, they want a one-on-one coaching program, you can always find me on TikTok at Meet Toria Fasting Coach, or on Instagram as The Weight Loss Fairy Meet Toria Fasting Coach. So both, you are going to find me, send me a message, and we can start talking from there. We could even schedule a call if you want to, you know, talk more, share your experiences and maybe things you've tried in the past and how we can move forward and make it better. So, yes. And our weight loss plan, we don't count calories. Yes, we don't, which is crazy because a lot of people have to count calories. No, we talk more about intuitive eating, cash portion control, intermittent fasting, lifestyle changes, working out. If that sounds like your vibe, then you should definitely join us. And we're having a program by January, which will be for like 90 days. And you can change your entire life in 90 days. You just need to start.
Yeah. You know, definitely, I would urge the listeners to check it. It's all going to your links, your socials, they are going to be in the episode description below.
Okay.
I would advise the listeners to definitely check you out. Want to even let them know that you are one of the coaches that actually did contribute a whole lot to my weight loss journey. Like, so much. I'm not even saying this because it's on the episode. I genuinely mean this, yeah. And yeah, I mean, even when people come to me and talk about weight loss, I definitely recommend Toria. And so on this episode, I definitely would recommend Toria.
Thank you so much. This means a lot to me. This is why I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to be that person.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the episode, Toria. It was amazing.
Yeah, you're welcome.